Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, December 12th, 2022, and we're going to have an excellent show tonight. Talk about how Americans can buy American, and the guest is Roger Summermaker, and we'll have him on just a couple of minutes, but we'll do a couple of updates here quickly first, and of course we're always going to start out with the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend against all enemies. So please keep that in mind as we go through some pretty crazy times. And we'll touch on just a couple of current events here, and then we'll get into the major discussion of the night, buying American, and what it means, why it's important, why we need to do this. And we'll talk about the free trade versus fair trade versus what the Constitution says versus what the CCP is doing, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get into all of that. But first, I'm sure everybody's been hearing about Elon Musk and the Twitter findings, the files being released, and it's all very perfectly clear what has been going on. It's totally amazing and disgusting that the freedom of the press that's supposed to protect us and do stuff is just totally silent on this stuff. You've got very, very little. Mainstream media isn't saying a peep about all this corruption and what it did to the election of 2020 and what it continues to do to us. Of course, things are changing now with Twitter, but across the board what it really does to us and how it's impacted people's lives and how there's really no accountability and, it's just disgusting. It's terrible. Now, it was a little bit of a joke in there where I guess Elon Musk said what his pronouns were, and that was prosecute / Fauci. I happen to think it's funny. Some people don't appreciate it, but I think it's more than appropriate, and it sends two messages about the pronoun nonsense and the evilness of what Fauci did. He goes out there and says Fauci lied to Congress about the gain-of-function stuff, and his lies have killed millions of people. Contributed or responsible for the deaths of millions of people. And I totally believe that. I believe it. We will be getting more into the COVID stuff in the very near future because, as some of you know, here in Florida, Governor DeSantis is going out there. He's going to take on some of the issues with that, too, because of the people who have been harmed by it, by the lies. They lied. You were not giving known consent the full consent. To the stuff and what's happened there. So we'll get into that on another show, but keep that in mind. Then, of course, you got to mention this U.S.-Russian swap where we traded a killer that wants to go help Russia kill Ukraine or fight against Ukraine, whatever it is, something insane like that. And that was instead of getting returning a veteran, they returned the WNBA, the woman basketball player. Who was in jail because of violating the laws in reference to smoking pot or whatever, marijuana. Just another sick thing that shows to people that what is America coming to. It's just disgusting. And then another equally disgusting, and I won't talk too much about it, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Mattel, one of the world's largest toy makers, if not the maker of Barbie dolls and all this other stuff, has the American Girl series or something out there that they're using this to try to do all this grooming and transgendering and sexual confusion stuff. Another totally disgusting thing, to use toys to try to do this to kids. To me, it's child abuse, but that's my opinion. And then the last thing before we really get going here, The issue about the GOP, who's going to be the Speaker of the House, U.S. House, and since the Republicans have the majority, it should be a Republican leader. And this by itself has been another farce of the Republican Party. And this, we're going to see what this, how this all plays out. I mean, they put McConnell back in over in the Senate. Totally disgusting. Totally anti-America first, because McConnell is a globalist. He's just disgusting. But that's what the Republicans did over there. Now we're going to see what they're going to do over in the House. And if they put McCarthy there, then it's the same thing. It's just more of the establishment garbage, and it's the wrong thing to do. And it just shows, once again, that we're going to get nowhere. And, you know, once again, the Republicans fail us. And that's why the Republicans have to go the way of the Whig Party. And I wrote I sent an email to several people, including my representative, who was for Florida here, Representative Neil Dunn. And I did get a response back from him, so that was nice of him. I got a response. And he was saying about he thanking me for writing him, blah, blah, blah. The Constitution requires that you select a Speaker of the House, blah, 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 which was, to a certain degree, is kind of insulting to put that. And the nominees have already been selected, and McCarthy was the nominee, blah, 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 blah. But then we know that there's plenty of others who oppose him, and he doesn't have the votes to get elected to it, to be selected for it. But the main thing, that was the extent of what this representative told me. And then he goes on, I'll be focusing on the following things the next month, you know, for the rest of the year kind of stuff, before they start their new session next year. A very, very BS kind of response. He never answered the question, the obvious question, did he support McCarthy, which I'm guessing he probably did. He's a follower. He's not a leader. And that he would vote for him. So that's just kind of – but those were the key questions. Who are you going to vote for? Who do you support? Support somebody different. But his lame response was, yeah, lame. But what do you expect? You can't really expect to get an honest answer out of too many people elected to public office. But at least I will give him credit that he did respond. And I will be responding to, I may call into his office and say, well, I got this response, but it really didn't answer the question. Is he going to support establishment person like Kevin McCarthy again? Is that what he's doing? And then we'll take it from there, and we'll see. In all likelihood, that's what he's doing. But it's the wrong answer. The GOP is in such a mess. We're in a mess because of the GOP. And if they think, you know, the good old joke about insanity, definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And, of course, many of us, we have given the Republican Party as many chances as we can. I left the Republican Party for like 15 years. I thought here maybe we had some kind of a rally, but then McConnell went out there and played his games, and McCarthy apparently too. The leadership of the Republican Party just doesn't have a clue what's going on. Or they have a different game going on, which is probably more likely. So get rid of the Republican Party. Make it an America First Party. Make it the Constitution Party, whatever. But the GOP is pretty much useless. And I think they will prove that when they show who they select to be the Speaker of the House. So, okay, with that being said, let's go ahead on to the key topic of the day, which is how Americans can buy American. We have Roger Simmermaker, on tonight. And as you can see, I've got some information out there, and I've also got the link for you to go to his site. Why it's important for us to buy American. The book, that's actually got three editions out there, How Americans Can Buy American, The Power of Consumer Patriotism. Why is it important that we support ourselves? I mean, to me, that's what it ultimately comes down to. Why are we supporting the world and suffering ourselves? Americans seem to be masters at doing this. We seem to take care of everybody else while we're the ones going down the drain here, similar to the border and these other things. So it's time for us to start focusing in on what we need to do to save our country, to take care of ourselves. We need to be independent. It's in my own opinion, you know, trade is all wonderful. You're going to have trade. But it needs to be equal and fair and to the benefit of everybody, and what, that's definitely not what we do. But regardless of anything else, we should always be able to take care of ourselves. we should always, I mean, if something is set terribly wrong, when we are depending on communist China for prescription drugs and key elements to our electronics, and they have so much control over us right now. It's just unbelievable. And not to mention the fentanyl and some other things we've talked about in the past, how those things are doing it, but how we have set ourselves up and how many corporations they control. And, you know, I'll go into a little bit of that later with, like, as many of you know, I've talked about it plenty of times. Smithfield Foods, one of the largest, if not the largest, food manufacturing providers, whatever, here in the United States, and it's controlled by a communist Chinese the Chinese Communist Party. Why do they own our food supply, a critical food supply? And while, you know, you can go into the grocery store and you can say, well, I'm not going to buy their products, which I don't, they supply food for restaurants all over the place. You have no idea what you're eating that's theirs and how the control they have over that. Why did we do this? And it was like $7 point something billion, I think, that they bought it for. This was back in 2014. It's terrible. And the question that I'm hoping that Roger's going to explain a little too is how this is allowed to happen. Is America, which I've said on the show in the past, America's for sale. We have U.S. corporations, companies selling out to this. Money is definitely more important than any kind of loyalty to country, I guess. It's just, it's all kind of sick. It's all kind of disturbing to me. But I think it's up to us to try to change it. And I will also make one more comment here, and then we will get Roger on to start talking, giving us some background here, is when I'm out there, my Christmas shopping has definitely been, I've saved a lot of money because I'm not buying made in China whenever possible. There are times when it seems like I can't find anything made in the USA, completely made in the U.S., excuse me, completely made in the USA, meaning made in the USA, made by Americans. It seems like China has their hands on just about everything. But I do my best to not buy anything made in China, even though it's next to impossible to never do it, or to buy something that doesn't have components of it and those kind of things. So it is difficult. So I'm very interested to see how many ways we can secure our own economy and our own future by being more independent and making our own products and buying our own products and electing to buy foreign products at will, not because you have no choice, which is where we are today. Well, that being said, Roger, who happens to also be from Orlando, Florida. Now, I'm no longer in Orlando, but I was born and raised there, so I know that area quite well. From Orlando, he is on the show tonight. Welcome, Roger. Please tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this kind of thing, and then we'll go into the we'll take the deep dive into the subject.
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me on, Sally, and I liked your comments. It's a great way to start with everything. I got started back when Ross Perot was on the scene and running for president, and I went shopping one day, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to make sure I buy something made in America today. I was going to buy some clothing. And I went in, you know, went in stores, out of stores, looked, couldn't find stuff, and talked to managers of the stores and so on and so forth. And I said, you know what, I'm going to write a book about this because people have to know, you know, I'm an American, I live here, I work here, I pay taxes here. Why is it so hard for me to find products from other Americans that live here, work here, and pay taxes here? So I just kind of jumped in with both feet. In 1994, my first book came out in 1996, and so I've been doing this for a while, and as they say, the rest is history.
Okay, well, that's to me, that sounds great, too, because you go out there and say, how do I find something that's made in America anymore? Even something like GE Appliances, totally owned by the Communist Chinese Party, by my understanding, they don't own everything of GE, but they definitely do own
right.
that piece of it kind of thing.
Right.
And so finding it, being able to locate these items so you can actually buy them is a critical piece, which I've been all over the website. The websites, I got the links on the show page, everybody. Plus, you can send an email to Roger, too. I got that out there, too, if you want to ask him any questions. But I've been going out there, and I was having a lot of problems, but you got a lot of very good information out there. I was bouncing all over the place. I spent a couple hours one night going over and trying and locating where you can buy American-made products. So that's extremely important. But let's go back to try to see, how did we get here? How did we end up being so dependent on foreign cultures and foreign built suppliers, if you will? And then the only thing that they don't, I was going to say, well, what is it that we do for ourselves? Well, obviously, when you go out to the restaurant, you know, most of the food you end up do cooking yourself. You do services. Those types of services are some things you can't totally import. Electricians, they have to come to your house and do that. You can't order that from China to say, would you fix the wiring? And then, of course, plumbing. So there are some things we still do for ourselves. There's obviously a lot of things we don't do for ourselves. So I'm trying to figure out how we got here, what the role of government is, how they, and we talked about you mentioned advocates of free trade. They act like this is what the Constitution says, the free trade. No, not quite. It's the laissez-faire, which is actually supposed to mean leave it alone. There's supposed to be limited interference with government with trade, but they seem to have this all confused. So a little bit of background on what is free trade, what is fair trade, what is a free market, open market? You know, let's kind of level set what we're supposed to be doing and where we are now.
Well, it's funny because actually the last book I wrote was titled Unconstitutional, Why We Should Reject, How the Founding Fathers Rejected Free Trade and Why Should We as Well. And it's funny, you go back and if you look in the U.S. Constitution, there's no mention of free trade. There's no mention of free market. Those things are just, free market especially is kind of a made-up term, which is supposed to be, like you said, laissez-faire, let it go, let, you know, keep your hands off of it, let it just go free and run itself. And but the U.S. Constitution does talk about how Congress has the responsibility to regulate trade with foreign nations with duties, imposts, excise taxes, things of the like. So even people today that are still defending free trade and globalization after the supply chain issues and the problems with China and so many other things, they are still out there touting how free trade is the way to go. And, you know, it really, what that does, it makes us dependent on cheap labor countries like we have been with China for so very long. And it really flies in the face of what America is really all about. I mean, on July 4th, Independence Day, right, we go out and celebrate our independence. But we're really not independent if we're, you know, beholden to a country like China, a communist country who supplies so many of our wants and needs and products that come in just daily by the boatloads into this country. And, you know, it's really kind of weird that we're going out and supporting, celebrating Independence Day, and a lot of these fireworks that people are lighting off to help celebrate it are made in China, you know. So it's really like we're not really celebrating the way we're supposed to. We're not really thinking about it, and we're not really independent like we wish we were, or we thought we were, many people thought we were. But, you know, the Buy American angle that I came at this a long time ago with my first book is a lot different than what you hear and see today on most websites, people that talk about buying American, because to most people, it just means, where is the product made? If it's made in USA, then I'm buying American. Well, I would submit to you that if you're buying an American-made product made by a Chinese company, and those profits, your dollars, are going to go back to China to reward foreign-owned companies, and the taxes are paid in foreign countries, to me, that's not buying American. Buying American, the real definition of it should be an American-owned company's product made in the USA with hopefully a high domestic parts content within that product. Those are the three things that really should comprise buying American. It's not just where is it made, because, you know, you brought up the Chinese company, the pork producer, Smithfield. Well, you can look on the package or the label, and it may say produced in the USA or processed in the USA. Oh, you think, oh, okay, well, great, the workers are here, I'm buying American. Well, no, you're not, because the profits are going back to China to make them richer, to, you know, help support the communist war machine that may threaten us one day, threaten Taiwan, who knows who else. And we have to stop sending them our money. And the best way to do it is not just to buy an American-made product, but we have to know which products are owned by Chinese companies. Like you said, the General Electric Appliance Company. You should buy an American-made Whirlpool instead of an American-made GE appliance. That way China's not getting all of that money via profits because they own the company. So it's really a better way to buy American, and we have to do more. And the website, you know, lays all that out. My book talks about ownership and where the products are made, as well as who owns the company, so we keep more of our jobs, our profits, and our tax revenue within our national borders.
Yeah, I think people really need to appreciate that much more. And it's the part, you know, when Trump was running, he's saying made in America, made in USA kind of stuff. And by itself, that sounds great, and I support that, obviously. But you got to look beyond that. You got to really truly see it. And this was, you know, when we talk about the role Congress plays in all this, and Trump was doing a lot to reset some of this stuff. But, you know, most people aren't really familiar with EB-5s. It was the immigration-based businesses. So this was a way, I mean, we had government, including Rick Scott here in Florida, traveling the world and doing everything they could to bring the business one way or the other, to engage them. Why would we want to have, in fact, the hotel in New York, the Waldorf, that's owned by China now. Why would we want to sell our country to a foreign interest? I don't get it. But they out there, they're bragging. And I guess I'll back up, you know, when we got China into the World Trade Organization, that was a very big mistake. But, and I'm trying to go back and say, okay, did these people truly genuinely believe, and I'm talking about the politicians, truly believe that we were going to bring the communist Chinese culture into this other facade that, you know, to believe in freedom and democracy? Is that what we really thought we were doing? Did they really believe that was their intent? But it obviously hasn't worked that way, so what are they thinking now if that was? Or is it really, you know, we talk so much about slavery and, you know, our history of slavery, which I get, to be honest, I get so tired of hearing, because first off, slavery didn't start in the United States of America, and blacks actually sold blacks too, and people don't want to always talk about that. But slavery was a terrible thing, and we were the ones who fought a war to end it. But to me, no one seems to care about the slavery in China. How, because it's to our financial benefit or something? It's really disgusting when you think of the humanitarian aspect of it as well. So when they were doing all this stuff, and I'm talking about our elected leaders, so-called leaders, when they were doing all this stuff, did they truly think they were going to change the culture of the Communist Chinese Party? Did they really think that? Did they think putting them in the World Trade Organization? Look how we have empowered China to go around and destroy the rest of the world, to threaten Taiwan and everything else. Why did we do this? I mean, are we really this dumb? And, you know, I think I know the answer.
Well, part of it was even back when China entered the WTO at our great urging, apparently, the purpose was to make them part of the world economy and the world community. And the problem was they really already were. And it just opened the door for more of the same that came down the pipe. We had this notion that they were going to become westernized, that they were going to become more capitalist and less communist, and they were going to be part of the world community and open up to our products and our services and our companies and things of that nature. And it took almost 20 years for all these politicians to figure out that was not clearly not going to happen, and you know, Trump was very instrumental in exposing that and brought a lot of people in the Republican Party along that used to be for free trade, but now they are realizing that was, you know, the wrong road to go down. And part of it with what you mentioned with Rick Scott is that our politicians have this attraction to foreign investment, and they think it's great to have a foreign company come over and build a factory, and yeah, that sounds like it might be good. That part of it is, that actually about 95% of foreign investment in the United States is a foreign company coming in and purchasing either an American company or an American factory. And then they take all those profits with them when they make money off those products that they're selling with the factory that's in the United States. So in that respect, it's not necessarily a good thing, because if that was an American-owned company, those profits would stay here. The taxes would accrue to American owners and American shareholders and American stockholders who pay taxes to the U.S. Treasury instead of a treasury of a foreign country, right? That's how we keep revenue in the United States, not just by working on the factory floor kind of thing. So this foreign investment in that light is not always the best thing, but it's always a great opportunity for a member of Congress to stand up on the steps in front of a bunch of people and say, I'm bringing all these jobs into the United States. But a lot of times what's really happening is we've been buying these foreign products, sending our money to China, sending our money to, you name it, other countries all around the world for their goods. And then they have our money. And then they take our money and they say, you know what, we've got enough money to come over here and we're just going to buy your assets. What we have done is we're giving them, this is money that used to be ours. It was our money before we thought free trade was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and cheap labor and lower prices and getting a deal and a bargain was the thing to do. With this bargain shopper mentality that we've had with these cheap Chinese products, and now they are buying us with the money that we sent them for those cheap goods that we thought were a great idea. So they're buying us with money that used to be ours, and we have to understand that it's being reinvested in the United States. They're buying our factory, they're buying our land, they're buying our companies. We cannot continue just to sell off all of our assets, land, companies, the factories, everything. We have to own all of that stuff here. We have to own it. So the profits stay here, and the taxes are paid in the United States to the U.S. Treasury, and to the American people accrue those profits, and it doesn't go to reward a foreign investor overseas somewhere else in one country or another. We have to keep it here. And we're finally figuring out with, the speculation of, hey, why is China buying all of this land oftentimes very close to U.S. Bases, military bases, with the possibility of spying, and then it finally dawned on some people in Congress, well, maybe we shouldn't be selling them our land either. So that's definitely another wake-up call that's hopefully in the mix, and hopefully we'll continue to get that call will get louder and louder.
The one other part, you're talking about the money, and we're going to start taking some calls in a few minutes here, everybody. The other thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, well, first, their status in the World Trade Organization, they're still treated as some kind of developing country, which that's not true. They buy up our debt while we're giving them money, funding them money for whatever, who knows what. And then the other, it's really, as you stressing the point, the taxpayers are paying for this. We, the taxpayers, are paying to sell out ourselves. We're paying to dig our own grave, kind of thing. And it's just incredible. But I thought within the last few years we were still giving them some type of aid. Why would we give any aid to China when we have debt? And of course, there's, what are we going to ever do if anything will ever happen, if we ever get Trump back in or whoever, to do anything to address what really happened with COVID. Now, they didn't do it all alone. China did not do this all alone. We have this guy named Fauci who was a key player, not to mention a few of his other friends, Big Pharma. But China was definitely instrumental in playing this game and attacking us. And, of course, the fentanyl. What are we going to do? At what point do we do something to stop this kind of stuff? And we get back some kind of compensation and hold them accountable for the deaths that they're causing right here in this country, too. It's kind of weird. That's a little bit off topic of the buying, but the fentanyl is coming all over the place, too. China is they're destroying us, and we seem to be okay with it, and we can't seem to get these people in public office to do a whole lot about it. What are we going to tell them to get them to move and do something? I said a lot there.
That's all. That's all very good and very, very valid, but just another component of that, you know, when these foreign corporations come over and buy our land and our factories and our companies, we often give them huge tax breaks that we don't even give our own domestic companies and the ones that are based here, you know. And I think part of the reason is because they're part of the home team, so to speak. They've been here for hundreds of years. We kind of expect them to stay here out of a patriotic duty. But we feel like we have to go above and beyond to somehow attract these foreign companies to come to the United States to establish factories. And we pay for all kinds of things for them. I mean, back in 1987, when Toyota built a plant in Georgetown, Kentucky, we gave them $100 million in state and federal tax incentives. We gave them 1,500 acres of free land. The factory was built with Japanese steel by a Japanese steel company. Financing was handled by Mitsui Bank of Japan. And we've already decimated a couple or three different sectors there, the steel company, the financial industry, that could have accrued to American companies. But we just give all this stuff away, and then I think it was a record that still may be in the record books was 2011. Volkswagen in Tennessee, you probably know about the factory they built there, $577 million in tax incentives. That's over $500 million. And that's their first plant in the U.S. for the second time, because they had another plant in Pennsylvania that closed in 1988. So they redid their first plant in America, and we gave them all this money. And, you know, that comes out of our pocket, because we're going to have to make up the difference for those tax giveaways, through our taxes. So it's just giving away the store to attract all this foreign investment sometimes just isn't all what it's all cracked up to be.
Well, and this goes back to one of my biggest, where we truly need to do some type of true investigation, which will never happen by the people in office. What is the incentive for them to do this? I mean, we're the gravy train that they're getting into this, and of course we know the insider trading that Nancy Pelosi says should be allowed, and all this other stuff, all the games that they play. They're selling us out. They're supposed to have a fiduciary duty to us to represent and work in the best interest of us. Yet they keep selling us out over and over again, and it's just when you talk about this kind of things and these deals that they do. Like, well, it's no wonder why you go into Congress making a minimum wage. You can't even pay your own rent. I didn't even talk about that one today. Can't get declined for an apartment because your credit's bad. But you leave as millionaires. When was the last time somebody left public office, the federal government at least, and they weren't a millionaire? How do they go in and become millionaires? And it's tied into all these kind of deals, too. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. And I'm telling you, if we the people don't start really opposing this insanity, we're done. We're digging our own grave at every level. You think about the insanity of what they're doing with the fossil fuels and the other stuff. I mean, it's just amazing to me as to how, you know, we are so self-destructive. There's a few people getting rich, but they're going to destroy the whole country at it, and they don't seem to care. And unfortunately, way too many Americans have been indoctrinated, dumbed down, and don't even seem to understand what's going on. But maybe now they're starting to feel some pain from what's happening and starting to realize that the prescription medications aren't going to be there. People who take a lot of them, they need to be concerned. They're not going to have them, or what kind of price they're going to charge us next if they get them back in. It's just insanity at all levels. Let me add one last thing. Talking about you and I when we were talking before the show, the mention of Biden's and the Clintons, what they have done in this whole process, and of course NAFTA would be, you know, one of the biggies there. And the other, when you think of NAFTA versus Trump's USMCA, what did he replace it with? How do you rate the two of those, or how did Trump correct some of the mess ups, what was come out of the NAFTA piece or whatever, anything you can clear up on that one to have people understand what that really is about?
Well, I think the USMCA is definitely a much better deal than NAFTA was, for sure. I mean, even just in the automotive sector, he made sure that we increased the parts content that has to be come from, the United States and North America as opposed to what it was with NAFTA. So we're going to have more jobs because of it. Outside of NAFTA and the USMCA, I mean, it was a great thing that he put tariffs on so many products coming into the country. I mean, this is something that has been in our history all the way back to George Washington. I mean, the second bill ever passed in Congress after the Great Seal of the United States was passed was a 5% duty on all imported products. And that was to encourage American manufacturing. And that, from George Washington. So whenever you hear these globalists talk about, well, free trade and free markets ingrained in the U.S. economy and it's what we're supposed to be doing, no, it's not. Because it just, if you go all the way back to, like I said, George Washington and that Tariff Act of, I think, 1789, and then Abraham Lincoln said, you were talking about how trade can be a good thing, but it needs to be fair and equal trade, right? Well, Abraham Lincoln said, we should trade where it is necessary, but discontinue it where it is not. He didn't say avoid it where it is not. He said discontinue it. So he was talking about, just kind of paraphrasing here, he's talking about, look, if we have cotton in the United States and we can make our own, clothing, it's not a necessity to import that. We need to discontinue it where it is not necessary. So that gets back to the independence, the self-sufficiency, the self-reliance founded on all those values that America was founded upon, and celebrating Independence Day authentically and have a good reason to do it. We need to be independent, not just when it's in a national security thing like steel, which Donald Trump was able to, get through. But it should be just for just about everything, whether it's, toys or clothes or anything. We should really be independent in all ways. You've got 100,000 people in China making toys for the U.S. market. Why can't we just bring those jobs here? Think of the money that would be going into Social Security. You could have over $500 million more money in Social Security just from the taxes paid by the workers if we were making those 100,000 jobs would be here making toys versus in China, because workers in China do not pay taxes to America. Workers in foreign countries, any foreign country, does not pay taxes to the United States. Only American workers do. That's why it's more than just about jobs. It's about the ownership of the company. It's about the taxes staying within the borders of the United States of America.
Absolutely. Every way you look at it, as far as I'm concerned, the way we've abused this, going for things we don't need, and of course Lincoln wasn't real fond of corporations in general too, why would you do it? You're selling out yourself. You're digging your own grave instead of taking care of yourself. It's just unbelievable. I'm going to go ahead and get Karen in here. I see she is out there. Karen, how are you doing this evening, and what are you thinking about all of this?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me. It is always wonderful to be on your show. And your guest is terrific and right on, spot on. I agree with everything you said, but I'm going to throw something else in the mix. For the past 40, 50 years, the Americans have been so dumbed down, starting in elementary school, actually starting with Head Start. And they have been so conditioned that by the time we reach this phase, they have become Pavlov's dogs. And they just follow and follow and follow, and they are almost incapable of making their own decision or their own choice. And I have many friends that have businesses, and they have told me, I said, what has happened to your business over years? And many of them have said, Karen, the workers, they can't even follow directions. And how many of them can't read? I'm spending time retraining them, but first in reading and math before I even get them to retrain in my business. So we have multiple problems being thrown at us simultaneously, and I don't think people even understand why it's important that the things in America come from America. They don't get it. They think that they are on this gravy train forever, and the government, whoever that is, whatever idea they have of government, because they certainly don't understand that government is us, we're the government, and the power that we have is more power than anybody else because we have the power of the real money. And the problem is we're not using it, so we're giving away our power. And the only thing that is, I think that's good that's coming out of what is happening is that other people are finally beginning to get it, that the corruption, the theft, all they're doing is taking the money from our pocket, creating a law for a business or regulations that a business will have to follow for some nonsense scheme that will never work. Now, that's real important you understand that. Their schemes will never work. They can't work. If they work, they feel they would have no need for them. So they always have to be in a position where, oh, if you just give us more time, oh, if you just give us more money, oh, we just need a few more, a few more, a few more. How much are we up to with Ukraine already? And all that's happening is the money is being taken from us in our taxes, and it is being given to the government, who disperses it to their donors and friends through business deals. And I don't think that people really grasp the gravity of that and the amount of money that's really involved in that. And we're sitting back and we're watching an illegitimate regime destroy our country. Why are we doing that? What, but you have given us what we can do about it. And it's not just Buy American. We have to create, I believe, real American companies. Bring the banking. Make sure you pay attention to your state bank. But we have the power to do that, and people don't realize it. And that's why I always make this analogy. What was one of the most successful things that we did during the Civil War was we made sure that what we were doing was coming through. And I think that we need to have a parallel economic system. And we can't, and when we do that, I'm sorry, in the Civil War, I am really, whoops. I was thinking of another thought while I was talking, which is always a bad thing. But anyhow, I was talking about the Civil Rights, what was so important, what made one of the greatest impressions was the boycott. Where can you find information on it? Hardly ever. Why? Because boycotts work. And we did that. Well, look at what Vanguard is doing. So by not just buying American, but taking a look at where we're investing our money, where we're purchasing our whatevers, and being really cognizant of it. And I love the idea of the book. I think that is just really wonderful because that's what we need. And we've got to get people to understand why it's important. Why is it important that you start at the beginning and teach your child how to read, write, and do math so that they can make the right informed decisions rather than be led around by the ring in their nose and their pink hair?
Right. You know, it's interesting you're mentioning the boycotting. Because I can't tell you how many times I've heard it was on Fox News, and I've heard O'Reilly say it too, and he still says it. And Well, I don't really believe in boycotting. Well, why not? And
okay.
Now, I don't know that Glenn Beck uses the word boycott, but he says, buy American, go to this supplier, go, you know, they're always promoting,
right.
I think, American Giant's one of them. In the American Giant one, as I recall, it's made right here, it's made of our products, it's made, it's a fully American product, buy this. So Beck is out there sort of doing it, but I don't think he uses the word boycott. I don't know why we should be. We've done that
he
on the show here
be
before.
Using
boycott
the word
boycott.
Yeah. Stop. Look at the bank that you work with. Does your bank follow ESG? Why are you giving them your money? There are plenty of other alternatives. And now John Rich, who is a country Western singer, is starting a bank with Larry Elder. That is non-ESG compliant. And that's what we have to do. What's his name? Of Vivek Ramaswamy. Did I get it right, I hope? He was in Trump's economic team. He put together those two funds so you can take your money out of a group that uses BlackRock and will invest your money into schemes to kill you. Instead, you can put your money into America. And maybe we should call a new party the American Party.
Yeah, America First, American Party, definitely something besides the nickname we have for the GOP is the Grand Old Prostitutes, because they're selling us out like you wouldn't believe. Selling us and whatever. We'll leave it there. But, yeah, Roger, so that's actually, Karen's making a good point in reference to while we're talking mostly in this conversation, we're thinking about things we buy, just the basic products and services that you buy out there. But really, think about the role the banks play in this too. And the ESG is a big deal. And I did hear something about Vanguard now is boycotting or getting out of green or whatever. But this is all key to the same thing. Buy American. It also means American products, finances, and that type of thing too. So, and how do you reach out to people to give that? I know you've got several books out there. I was looking at some of them. Unfortunately, I have not read them all. Guilty there, and I'm working on that. But on the financial side, what is the lesson you're telling people about made in America, buy American, support American? What do you tell them when it comes to finances?
Well, as it ties into, as much as I can, tying it into buying American and the research that I do, I do have a category in my book on banks to make sure that we don't patronize and have our money in foreign-owned banks to keep more of our money here as well. So that's definitely one way. But I think of your caller going back, I think kind of ties into, you know, bringing people up and, you know, intelligently informing them of, you know, the ways that you can help the country, whether it's Buy American or other things. And, you know, just going back to the trade issue, a lot of our problems really are because of the social problems that we have experiencing because of free trade. And free trade, you know, people get laid off from their factories, they're idle, they get into, you know, drugs and other social problems. And it's been documented that you know these kinds of social problems occur more often in areas that have been you know just dismantled because the factories have closed and gone overseas. And actually, Teddy Roosevelt talked about this a little bit, and I'm going to tell you a quote from him. First of all, he said, "Thank God I am not a free trader. In this country, indulgence in the doctrine of free trade seems inevitably to produce a fatty degeneration of the moral fiber." And I think that's part of what we're dealing with and how it ties in with trade and social problems and bringing this, you know, having an educated citizenry, which we desperately need in the country. So that's how I would answer on some of those points.
Okay. Karen, any other questions or comments you want to continue on? Because it's education. It's all we go back time and time again. The root of this whole thing is the lack of education. And, of course, I repeat it all the time, drive people crazy with Jefferson. If you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. And we've become a very ignorant nation, ignorant across the board in so many things. And, of course, this is another piece of it. So how do we reach out to these people And others, I see you out there. Go ahead and hit the one button if you want to join the conversation. Let me go. You hit press one, then I can get you into the discussion if you'd like. Go ahead and it's 347-857-4364. Press one. anyway, to make a difference here. Now, people buy the made in China because it's cheap. Somehow they, again, totally missing the boat, not understanding. You may be saving. Nothing's free in this world, so pay now, pay later. You're going to pay with your own well-being. You're going to sacrifice the future by giving it out. How do we get, and what do we say to these people in public office? How do we, you know, and what do we do? Again, I go back and back to the question over and over again. What is motivating them to do this? How do we go back and actually say, well, let's take a look at the incentives, finance, campaign finance. How much money are they getting from these foreign entities? And when China comes in and gives them stock, what is the relationship with McConnell and the Chinese, Communist Chinese Party, and all this kind of stuff? What do we do to educate the people and also to wake up or knock these people upside the head who are in public office? Would you start working for us for a change instead of destroying us? Again, Karen, any thoughts, questions, suggestions?
I am very encouraged, and for me that's really a surprise, because for how many years have we been doing this? And finally, I am beginning to see that people, the light bulb is going off. And I believe right now what we have to do is pick topics that are not political and then go to groups that we wouldn't normally go to and begin to have a conversation by listening. We don't listen either, which is bad. We have a very bad habit. We say, here's the blah, 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 go look it up and draw your own conclusion, without understanding these people cannot draw a conclusion. They're incapable of that. They are used to being told what to do. And if we were smart, we would look at their plan, which they tell us all the time, we want to kill you. We want you dead in any way we can think of, and we're working on it, is basically what's happening. And China, I can't remember exactly, after World War II, we had a choice. We could fight the Chinese, and we could fight in Asia, or we could fight with Russia, but we couldn't have a war on both fronts. It made it almost impossible, so unfortunately, we didn't pay much attention to China, and we paid all of our attention to Russia, and Russia fell apart, et cetera, et cetera. And now all what has happened is we have pushed Russia into the hands of China, so we have two evil forces coming together to make a super evil force. But I'm encouraged by us. I'm encouraged by what I see. And people like us have to become the teachers, because these people need the guidance. So if we follow the plan that they have laid out already and just change the outcome, we'll have a home run, because the people already know the plan. And what we have to do is follow along the same line, be very inquisitive, and let yourself be open so that they will want to talk back with you. And what you want to do is get them to talk. And what you will find is that their information is very shallow. And then pick a topic that you like, that you might have in common, and start working on that topic. Don't go out there and call them all kinds of names to begin with. But what we have to do right now is get out of our comfort zone and go and visit different people. Go to the minority leaders in your community. And if you're a minority leader, then go to the white neighborhoods. But we have to stop this white minority garbage. But anyway, buying American,
let me ask,
buying American is it.
Okay. I'm going to put a question out there to both of you. We have to start making stuff here again. We have to take back the industries, which part of the why did we chase them away? I would love to be able to truly do a full investigation of the McConnells out there and how much money they're making by selling us out to China and whoever else, because not just China, but obviously Mexico or whatever. But we know his ties to China and that type of thing. But like I sent an email to Governor DeSantis, and I believe Karen, I believe you saw it. You're copied on many of the things I sent to him, and I'll with Roger being from Florida here, being Orlando, I'm curious as to his thought too. Let's see. We keep giving all the benefits to the foreign entities, like you were saying. They come here, we give them all these billions of dollars of tax breaks and stuff like that, and, of course, selling out the outsourcing all the jobs to them. But I asked DeSantis to go see what he could do to get a company together, encourage, invite, whatever you want to call it, a corporation to come to Florida to build combustion engine cars. So get you know, we're not going to be able to do all the electric the way they want to. It just doesn't work that way, not today. Maybe at some point down the road, and I've been hearing some new technology about electric vehicles, but as it is today, that isn't going to happen. And I know Karen and I are both on the same page that everything to do with fuel or the fossil stuff isn't about the climate or any of that nonsense. It's about control. But we have to defeat it. Okay, how do we defeat the fascism, if you want to call it that, public-private partnerships, the collusion of the federal government and the car makers and making them do this and do that? How do we get back to kind of like what you were saying on the one company, starting a new company here in Florida or wherever, but Florida, we're pretty much the freedom state here, to build the cars again without all this harassment from the federal regulators, because it's not constitutional, that garbage they're doing. How do we say, yes, let's make American cars in America again with fossil fuels, combustion engines, and we're going to keep the fossil fuel industry going? How do we bring that business back and shut down the insanity of what's going on at the federal level? Because it would seem like, and there's this Constitution question, hasn't the federal government gone over their boundary of what the Constitution says they can do with fossil fuels and all this other kind of stuff? And when are we going to push back and say, well, we're going to build them ourselves? We're going to, if Detroit, you don't want to build our cars, you're going to go with this EV stuff that doesn't work and it's going to make me sit and have to park in a parking lot for 4 hours to charge the engine up or whatever else, charge the battery up. And I might get electrocuted from the car because that still happens. We want to take back the industry. So how do we do that? Does that make sense of what I'm trying to say here? I want us to start our own businesses again. What do we do to take it back and create those businesses here? So, Roger, what would you say, and this, of course, means the financing, means the banking. You've got to find a bank that will not follow all this crazy ESG stuff, which Florida's doing a lot to push back. But what do we do to take back that marketplace and you know, become self-sufficient again and reject what I believe is unconstitutional by this federal government? Now, Roger, I said a mouthload.
Yeah, well, I think what we're going to find out with the electric cars is that it's not – I don't think General Motors and Ford and Chrysler and all these other companies are going to be able to go 100% EV by 2030 or 2035 or how aggressive their timeline is. Because I think they're just people out there that either can't have the electric cars because of their situation or where they live or what they do. It's just, I don't see how it's going to work for everybody. So I think there's going to have to be some backtracking by these companies that say they've committed to going 100% EV, because I just don't think you're going to be able to do it. What I think is going to happen in the meantime is you're going to have some of these smaller companies who make engines for cars right now, and they will have a lot more business on their hands from the people that want to buy cars with combustion engines, and they're going to be flooded with requests for their engines, because they're, like I said, there's just people that are not going to be able to go with the EV, that they don't want to go with the EV. And like you said, the charging times are not really adequate for travel. If you have to take a long vacation and you have to stop for 20, 30 minutes and wait till your car gets charged before you can go again, work with a car today, you can just gas up and get back on the road. So I think the stepping stone is these smaller companies are going to be a lot more profitable that are making these engines. And then the larger corporations are going to realize that their timelines are just too aggressive and not everybody wants to have an EV. I think for myself, I probably wouldn't mind having one if it seemed like it would work out in my situation. Maybe an EV and maybe a standard, engine, car with an engine like we have today. But I don't see how I could possibly go 100% EV myself. And I think there's a lot of people out there that feel like I do, and I'm just hoping some of these smaller companies that make these engines are going to be able to get a lot bigger and a lot more business until we figure out that it's not going to happen the way that the large corporations and the government think it's going to happen, because I just don't think it's going to work out like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I love the one of those news reports where they had Harris out there. He's like, well, you just get the electricity by plugging it into the wall. Of course, you couldn't figure out how to plug it into the car. That was another story. But the whole point is they act like electricity comes out of walls. They don't seem to understand where it comes from at all, which goes back to the root cause of the situation here, that what they're doing. It can't be about the environment, because electricity comes from something too. It's coal, primarily coal, but not the only. So it's all brainwashing to act like, well, you do this, you're going to make the air fresh and clean, and that it's going to be less expensive, that no one's talking about the cost. Look what's happening to electricity today in this current environment with the nutcases in there running this stuff. And so your cost, the car obviously costs a lot more. A battery costs $20,000. And then the electricity that you have to pay, your electric bill is going to go up every month. Nobody's thinking about all those. So we have to be able to bypass the insanity of what they're doing now, which means we have to get the product someplace else. And, of course, make sure we keep the fuel. We've got to get the fossil fuel stuff going too, so that we can do this. And, I mean, if I was a billionaire, I would be the first one being here in Florida saying, okay, this is the Freedom State. Let's find a good place to start building cars. Now, you mentioned some smaller companies out there building engines now. Who are they? How do we get with them? Do we try to get them to come together and, create a new company to go out there and build the cars here locally? And maybe at that point, then you start seeing they have to, not be the ESG nutcases following everything, the fascists. They can't be public-private partnerships in this other insanity. So while I want DeSantis to encourage them to come here and build cars here in Florida, I don't want it to be a bunch of tax, costing us all the money and public-private partnerships. I don't want that either. But I would like to see some kind of incentive. Let's start building our cars. We don't need to depend on Michigan. Detroit, can't we have somebody else be building the cars? How do we motivate them, or how do we reach out to these companies and say, hey, we're looking for this? Do enough people contact them? What do we do? And I see Joe, I see you out there. I'll get to you in just a second. What do we do to bypass or get past what the garbage that's going on? I know it's a little bit confusing what I'm saying. Hopefully you understand the message. How do we say, okay, Washington, you're doing this to us over here. We're going to take our rights, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to do this instead. And we're going to ignore you because you don't have any constitutional right. This is a state thing. I don't think there's anything in the Constitution that says who makes cars. Did I miss something? Is there any article in there who's allowed to build engines and cars? I don't think that's there. So I want to know what a plan is for us to reach out. And Roger, and then Karen, I'll give you a comment, then I'm going to go to Joe real quick here.
Well, the engines are often built by, I think Summit Racing is one of the companies. There's just different catalogs where you can buy aftermarket parts, and it's not really a Buy American thing because I can't really say that one parts company is going to be more American made than the other one. That would take a lot of independent research to do that, but it would just be these companies that make auto parts that often make engines as well for a variety of types of cars. And those are just smaller companies, and hopefully they'll get a lot bigger if they get the business from that. But to your point about not just making cars in Michigan, I mean, we have a lot of plants all over the country, like I talked about. You know, Georgetown, Kentucky, where Toyota has a plant, and VW went to Tennessee. You've got, you know, Georgia. Don't think we have any car manufacturing in Florida, but you know, there's definitely a lot more states than there used to be making cars these days. So it's more widespread, not just concentrated in Detroit, the big three, as it were.
Yeah. So, but to bypass the government choking us on the electric vehicles, give us a choice. It's supposed to be a free market. It's supposed to be supply and demand.
Yeah,
they don't seem to understand
demand,
that supply and demand. Yeah.
If the demand is out there, then, you know, the people are going to supply to meet the demand. So that's where it has to come from. But it's going to be a choice by the individual people of what they want and where they want to make that demand, create that demand.
Well, and see, that's the frustration I have right now, because I believe the majority of people, you know, some people like electric cars, whatever. And in time, if the electric cars are truly cleaner and affordable and all this other kind of stuff, as convenient, whatever, people would go to it because it would be better for them. Just like what's happened with cell phones, people keep going to newer versions that can do more and whatever else. So people will change on their own. However, we're not being allowed to change on our own. We're being told, no, we are shutting down all the coal plants. We are shutting down. There will be banning any type of, like California, banning gas cars in such and such a year, and it's not really a free market. It's not supply and demand at all here, because they're choking us. The government is choking us and not letting us do what we want to do. It's not they're not incentivizing, whatever, that's probably not the best word, to move us to electric because it's better. We'll move to electric vehicles when they're better, but they're not better. They can't support it right now. So that's the frustration I have there, and that's why, how do we encourage or support American corporations to build the cars? Because that's what we want. While they're being choked by ESG and everything else and all the other, whatever the arrangements are that they have with the federal government, which again comes down to the public-private partnerships, fascism, whatever you want to call it, that where they're controlled by them, not by the market.
Yeah, all I could say is just reiterate, it's supply and demand, and if the people are going to demand something other than electric vehicles, somebody's going to have to be out there to supply it. You talked about, you know, if you were a billionaire, come down to Florida and build a plant. Well, we have a billionaire in Warren Buffett who invested so much money in this BYD company in China because he thought that it could be the world's leader of electric vehicles. So he's not putting money into America. He's putting money into a Chinese company, hoping and banking on them becoming the number one automaker in EVs anyway in the world. And I just don't understand how somebody could, with that kind of money that claims to be patriotic, and his words about, well, you know, I shouldn't be paying a lower rate of taxes than my secretary, which sounds like a patriotic comment, why he would be supporting a company like that, a Chinese company. I just don't get it. It just seems very un-American.
I would agree. Now, Joe, do you still want to talk? It looks like Joe was on and off. Push the button again if you want to speak, because it looks like Joe has changed his mind. Let's see. We have looks like John out here. John, are
Hello.
You there? Hey
yes.
There.
Well,
what are you thinking about the corporation, Buy American?
We were doing that until Biden got elected and destroyed everything Trump had accomplished. So we're back to screwing Americans out of American making American products, which Trump had us doing, and employing American people. In other words, he canceled everything good had reinstituted, including the Canadian pipeline. So now the country is just a big pile of nothing, as it was in the days before Trump. And that's the biggest tragedy of destroying Trump the way they did, was they got, and that's the work of the globalists, who want the world that way. They don't want America to be number one. So we're back to the globalist way of doing everything.
And that ultimately is that's ultimately the root cause of this. Why is this happening to begin with? Why is the intent? What is the intention of these people trying to do this? And it really is. It's the destruction of this country.
They hate America. They hate America. They want a globalist world.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't argue the point.
You'd have to hate America to do what Biden's done, which is to flood the country with illegals and drugs from China through Mexican cartels, and then cut us all off. The Democrat Party is a party of hate America. It's not a party that loves America. So that's what we're up against.
Yeah,
and that's
well,
what globalism
unfortunately.
Is.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of those in the Republican Party these days, too. You know, McConnell
well,
being probably
globalists.
The biggest.
Exactly so.
They are.
The first thing they did to us all was steal our jobs and give them to other countries. Before Trump got back, the people had no jobs. He gets to be president, and all of a sudden we've got plenty of jobs to go around for everybody because he stopped all of that globalist crap.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious why they did what they did, which was lie, cheat, and steal the election so that they could go back to the way they want it.
Yeah.
And it's anti-American as hell.
Yeah, it really is.
And Trump wants to bring back the America First. So, I mean, it's as clear as can be.
Yeah.
And we have
no... Okay, hold on. Hold on, John. Karen was going to respond also. She wanted to comment on some of that as well, and plus I have one other caller, and then we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Karen, you said Karen, you had an answer, I think you said. Karen, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Okay. Technology, you got to love it. Karen, are you there?
Okay,
there,
yes.
You're on mute on your own phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
can
I can
you
hear you
hear
now.
Me? Okay.
Yes, and then we do have another caller waiting. Okay.
You were talking about the electric vehicles. And first of all, we really need to understand who these people are, and John is right. We have to stop thinking of them as American. They're not Americans. They hate them. It isn't so much that they hate America. They just don't think of America as anything special. It should be the same as the rest of the world, and they should rule it, and everybody should shut up and just do what they say, period, because they're wonderful, and they know how to steal. So we have that mindset of leaders, and we have to stop thinking and saying, why are they doing that? They're doing that First of all, because they can, and we gave it to them. But aside from that, they're doing that for money and power. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. That's all they care about. And if you die along the way, it's one less mouth to feed. And this is not going on in America. This is a global purge of, I don't know, nationalists, populists. Look what's happening in Brazil, in America. They will continue to steal elections. There will never be a fair, free election unless we take all of the equipment and put it in the garbage or in the volcano and stop with the machines. Because no matter what you do, you can't outrun the machine. Because the machine has the last say, and it'll only always could always vote one more. And that's a big problem. But let me go back to my original thought, which was the electric vehicle. This group does not want you mobile. They want people, they'd be happy if they could do a lockdown everywhere, all the time. So they don't want you out in the street. They don't want you running around in a car, which is why they're trying to outlaw the combustion engine. They know the EVs will not work, and that is okay. So I always ask this question. Okay, say you're out on the highway and there's an accident and your EV runs out of power. Where do you go and get a bucket of electricity to come and fill up your tank?
They're not. We saw that last winter. All the cars stuck on
exactly.
The freeway.
Exactly. So if you outlaw
that.
Fossil
had to get towed.
Fuel, yeah. If you outlaw fossil fuel, you are outlawing anything because you need fossil fuel to even make the body of the car. So who's fooling who? They are trying to fool us. They are lying. EVs will not work. And not because they're not a wonderful idea. It's just not ready for prime time. There are so many things, especially the catching fire part. But the combustion engine did that too. Things that have to be worked out. And you don't throw it on the people without it being worked out like they did with the vaccine. We want a test. That's up to us to demand that. Don't throw it and say, you know, by this date, you're going to be without. Okay, so I mean, it should be a very charming winter in Europe as they have outlawed fossil fuel. So this is a crowd of people that have absolutely one determination in mind, and that is to destroy the Western culture because the Western culture breeds individualism and they can't have people that think. You only can have people that do.
That goes into controlling. That's why we don't have a free market. I mean, we say
exactly.
We have a free market, but we really don't
because
of this control. If the supply and demand, like I was saying earlier, if it's a matter of supply and demand, we would continue with the fossil fuels until we let the geniuses out there who can come up with the ultimate, and the people who would come out with the perfect electric car, they may or may not be thinking about the environment when they do it, but the point is they would come up, this car is going to be so much easier for you to run. You won't have to stop and get gas all the time. Just charge it up at night when you're home, and then you drive wherever you feel like driving, you know, within reason, whatever. You know, they would have the, you would want it. You would want it because they perfected it. It would be something better, just like the cell phone routine. We want things that are going to improve our life, and we want the only way that happens if you encourage people to invent, be creative, and the only way that happens is for government to get out of the way, and then, of course, keep the jobs here so that we reap the rewards of what we're doing instead of selling everything to everybody else for them to make the money and take it from us. I do have, if you want to take a quick comment, but I have another caller out there. Was there something else you're going to say real quick, Karen?
I was just going to say I agree with you, but then I'll go back to the original premise. We have lowered our standards so badly that we're not capable of doing that anymore. Everything that we have right now is falling apart. And until we face that, what are we going to do? Take people who can't think, figure, write, read, whatever, can't even follow directions properly, and put them in charge? I was just looking the other day at the cabinet from John Kennedy and looking at the cabinet from the O'Biden administration. I thought I was looking at a freak show. This is what we're putting up with.
Yeah. And well, okay, on that note, I'm going to go to the other caller here. So many things we could say about that one. Caller 7236, can I get your first name, please?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
All right. Well, you know, a lot of people keep saying these elite, these New World Order people. You know, if I took you or any one of you, and I took you and put you in Lewisburg Penitentiary, you would have no friends. You wouldn't know who to talk to. You'd be scared or you'd be angry at them, right? That's how these people are. They're rich. They don't have contact with us, so they don't know how to interact with us. I think that's what the problem is.
They don't care.
Well, now, kind of remember where we're going here on the show and the Buy American, because the whole thing is, how do we support America, buy American, protect our own future?
Well, how could we? I was going into that point. How could we, when everyone is detached from each other and we're separated? Look at all the technology that we have now, that foreign technology that we bought and brought over, our iPhone, our PC, personal computer, everything's me. It's all about us and our little world. We're not – you see people out for dinner with each other, and they're talking on their phones instead of talking to each other. So we don't interact with anyone. So how can we care about Americans? We don't care about America. We don't care about each other. So why would we buy it? How many people walk around a Walmart reading labels to see what country things are made in? You know, how many? I bet you can't find one.
Yeah, I think actually Roger should probably chime in on this one, and I'll quick answer, and I'll go back to you. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but because most people are looking at the price tag, thinking what it costs them, not realizing what it really costs them, and that's where I think Roger is helping to shed the light on what it really costs, and this is where we need to educate people. Roger?
Well, I have an article that's I put up a couple days ago on my website, howtobuyamerican.com, about there was a recent survey, and actually the Alliance for American Manufacturing circulated the survey as well, that said 76% of Americans would rather buy an American-made product over a foreign product if, you know, the price and quality were similar. And you have a lot of studies and research about things like that that come back with the same result. People really do want to buy American. The problem is we don't know how to find and buy the American products. And, you know, only 3% of the clothing sold in the United States is made here. But if, 3%. But if, even though 97% of it is imported, if you know where to find the 3%, you're going to be fine. And that's where my book and my website comes into play, because I educate people on how to find those American-made products and how to buy them and what the brand names are. So if you really do care about America and you want to make a difference and buy an American product, we need to know how to do that. And that's what my book and my website are all about. And some of the other things I've heard kind of reading between the lines and some of the comments is,
I'm hearing some background noise. I'm not sure who that's coming from. If you're not speaking right now, would you put your phone on mute for just a second, and then we'll go back to you, Joe, in just a second. But I'm hearing some background noise. I don't know if anybody else is hearing.
All right, go ahead and mute me, because I don't know how to do that, actually. So.
Okay.
And then just unmute me when you're done.
Okay, let's see if that takes care of that noise. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Roger, but I was having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, I think part of what's going on here is we're trying to find out how to reclaim the American dream. And I talk about in my book, Unconstitutional, Our Founding Fathers Rejected Free Trade and So Should We, is we have to make sure that China does not become the world's number one superpower. If they do, and the United States is no longer the world's number one superpower, the number one economy in the world, the American dream, regardless of what your definition of the American dream is, it's over. There's no more spreading democracy around the world because we're number one. Because we're not number one, second place means second tier, and second tier means second rate. Other countries are not going to look to us for leadership on anything if China is able to boss us around, tell us what to do, because they're the biggest bully kid on the block economically. And, you know, in my book, I've taught in Unconstitutional, I've laid out several articles from so many different, USA Today and Bloomberg, Economist Magazine. They're all talking about, this was back in 2017, 2018. They're talking about, in some ways, China has already surpassed us technologically and militarily. We cannot allow that to happen. We need to be the world's number one superpower economically, militarily, and just, you know, in all ways. We need to be number one. We can't let China have the world's number one superpower mantle, and they're going to be able to tell us what to do because they're number one. We cannot allow that to happen. And the way we keep that from happening is Trump started this with the tariffs on China. Teddy Roosevelt would call those equalizing tariffs. You have to make trade fair so the production cost burdens are the same as here as they are in China, and we're actually on an equal and level playing field. When that happens, the American-made products will become more attractive price-wise to the American consumer, and then the consumer will be buying more of those American-made products, keeping our money here, keeping us number one, and not letting China have that mantle. Because if they do, like I said, the American dream is over.
Well, it's interesting you say that, and I'm going to go back to Joe in just a second here. Because, you know, myself, I go out there and I look for the Made in the USA label. Sometimes they've changed some of it where they say assembled in the U.S. of foreign or imported components, whatever. They're doing things, and it's like, well, at least I'm helping. If I can't find completely Made in the USA, at least I'm helping to get somebody a job, I guess. You know, it's kind of one of those things. But I'm looking for that label all over the place, and they need to be more prominent on doing that. They do it some, but they and that's really the way. And it's going to be right out in front of you, so you know when you're glancing at it that you see the American made right off the top. And totally agree. We've got to be the ones on top. And right now, well, I guess thanks to Biden and company, and some I guess it was Clinton, all the intellectual property that was stolen or given to China and everything else. Why they have become the superpower. And we have been marginalized, and I guess the one other thing I'll mention, then go back to Joe. Two things that I have tried to do. It hasn't always been easy, but I've tried. One, I try to support local small businesses, the true American business, the heart and soul of America, versus the big box stores when I can, and then to buy American-made products. They're not always easy to do. But I myself do go out there and look, and I do the fact of the matter is you sometimes are going to have to pay more if it's American-made. And I do that. I frequently do pay more and because I want to support our country and our economy. I don't want to support China or other foreign entities. I really, you know, we need to support ourselves first. The charity begins at home. Take care of yourself first, then you take care of the others kind of thing. So that is what I attempt to do. And, again, I was looking at your website, and I was getting a lot of good information, so I will be spending much more time there to find the American-made products that I want, what I want to buy, and not be stuck having to buy what they have there. Well, that being said, let me get Joe back in here. And, Joe, you can continue on, ask any other questions for Roger and comments.
Well, I'm a little confused. I mean, buy American, okay, it's like the American cars. I mean, or Japanese cars, they're designed here in America and built in Japan. So really you're buying American, you know, a lot of the components also are made here. I mean, the economy is such, the world stage now in economic growth, the way everything is so integrated around the world now, as far as America being the superpower anyway, that's not what the agenda is, because the central bankers control both sides of each economy anyway. The central bank, China operates off a central bank, We operate off a central bank, and we know the world's currencies are controlled by central banks, so they control the deflation and inflation and the bubbles and microbursts and whatever else you want to call them. So really it doesn't matter what we spend for our dollars, because really we're at the mercy of the bankers and how they and they're going over to digital currency next year anyway. So I mean, so in you know, so I don't understand what means this all of a sudden is pushed to buy American. It sounds like my grandfather, you know, that's a Jap car when I bought a Toyota when I was a kid, you know. I mean, you know, it's like it doesn't really matter anymore, I don't think, when you buy American and the economy's hijacked.
Well, I don't think you're listening to the very beginning of the first part of the show when we were talking about how you're selling yourself out. You're selling us out, America out kind of thing. But I'll let Roger answer that one. Why it's important to buy American.
Well, it is important, and it does make a difference when you buy from an American company a car made in the USA. American companies, let's say the two big ones, General Motors and Ford, they have more factories in the United States. They employ more workers, American workers, than any other foreign company. They get more of their parts. If you do an analysis, industry-wide from American companies, parts made in the USA. They pay more taxes to the United States. They've been here for hundreds of years. You hear a lot about in the news about you have a foreign company that's building a new plant, and then you don't hear anything about an American company doing that. But the truth is, American companies like General Motors and Ford put just as much money, if not more, into updating their old factories that have been here for over 100 years, and restoring them and refurbishing them, than the foreign companies do establishing new factories in the United States. So no matter how you look at it, it always is more beneficial to buy an American-made car from an American-owned company than, for instance, a Toyota, like you mentioned, made in the USA, because the profits are going to go to Japan, the taxes are going to be paid on those profits in Japan, we're going to reward foreign owners, foreign stockholders, foreign investors, instead of American investors and American stockholders and American owners here in the United States. So it definitely works to keep more of our money here if we buy an American-made product from an American-owned company.
Well, okay. Well, you know, again, you said taxes. You made that, and I remember you said earlier on in the conversation, democracy. That right there is a red flag for me automatically, because we're not.
I didn't say democracy. I did not use the word democracy at any point.
I could have sworn you did, but okay. My mistake if you didn't, but I could have sworn you did.
I don't think I ever have, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you might. Well, okay. No big deal. But I thought that I did hear it. But anyway, you did say taxes. Taxes, our money is controlled by a foreign offshore banking cartel. They're all
sure, it's
foreign.
It's not controlled by anybody. If you go out and you want to buy an American-made product from an American-owned company, these other central bankers have nothing to do with your willpower and what you buy in the United States. American-owned companies pay around 2 to 3 times as many taxes the U.S. Treasury than foreign-owned companies do. The reason for that is like I said before, when you buy a foreign-owned company's product like a Toyota made in the United States, the profits go to Japan. The taxes are paid on the profits in Japan to reward foreign owners, investors, and stockholders. We can keep that money here if it's an American company made in the USA with a high domestic parts content. Like I said, more parts are domestic in General Motors and Ford industry-wide than Toyota or Kia or Hyundai or any of these other foreign companies. More of the money stays here. And the central bankers have nothing to do with your freedom of choice to buy an American-made product, because workers in foreign countries don't pay a dime in taxes to the U.S. Treasury. Only American workers do. And if you want to buy an American-made product and support an American-made worker, he's going to pay taxes here to the U.S. Treasury instead of a treasury overseas in a foreign country. That's how you keep the money here.
Well, again, I have to disagree with you on your economic viewpoints there. It's just like for the Reinvestment Act of 2009. you know, which we required the purchase of American iron and steel. And the overall cost of the project would be increased by 25%, they said, or more. And it did nothing. It did nothing. It actually hurt. And matter of fact, Buy American provisions are often, provisions are often enacted because politicians associate this, a patriotic slogan, with the creation of domestic jobs, when in fact these laws are counterproductive. When these politicians come up with these Buy American laws or signatures out there that people are out there singing. You know, taxpayers, they curtail exports and they lose more jobs than they create. Buy American was bad policy in the 1930s and does even more harm today, because we are owned and operated by a foreign central bank that our taxes go to pay interest on our debt that we create from our labor. Yeah. I know they don't teach this anymore in school. They don't teach this in economics, but it's modern money mechanics, fractional reserve banking, and Austrian economics. If you look that up, I'm an expert when it comes to economics, and I'm going to sit here and tell you that it does not matter if you spend $100 here or over in Japan. It does not hurt or affect our jobs one way or another.
I can't quite myself. I can't agree with that. There's something that's not making sense there. Like right now, okay, and we can, with what Biden did with the fossil fuels, shutting down the plants and all these other things. Now we're going to buy this stuff. Are we really better off buying foreign oil than buying our own? I don't think so. I mean, I'll use that as the most basic example. And this is what's happening to this economy now is because Biden and company. Biden, as Karen says, has gone out there and done everything they can to destroy this economy, destroy Made in America, destroy self-efficiency and dependency. So, I mean, what's happening right now because of the fossil fuel stuff and some of the other, they blame it on the war. But what's happening to our food supply because of what he's done to stop us from being able to be self-sufficient? Are we really better off not being self-sufficient on foreign or on our own fuel?
Well, that's not true.
I'll use that as the example. Everything that
imported goods,
the farm, growing food, everything else.
Imported goods and services amount to less than 5% of the U.S. public sector procurement, compared with the overall import ratio of 17.3% of the U.S. economy. Okay, so this public procurement amounts to about $1.9 trillion annually. Okay, so some 10% was that 8, 10, 11, 12% of the GDP. The import content of public sector purchase amounts to about $95 billion annually. That's not, by comparison, $1.9 trillion of U.S. private sector purchases of goods and services has an import content of around $323 billion. Okay, so now quantification is difficult, but the major federal Buy American laws probably equate to tariff equivalent barriers of at least I would say maybe 25% on federal purchases. State laws that vary in scope and protective degree, on average, they probably entail at least 10% of tariff equivalent barriers. You know, barriers of this magnitude likely impose a cost of 5 to 10% on U.S. taxpayers through inflated prices for public purchases. You know, again, this all reverts back to our economic dollar. Our dollar is controlled. It's not backed by anything except by the faith and promise of the U.S. government and your labor. I mean, it's until we get a hold and grasp on our currency problems and our money problems, we'll never fix anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to – when it comes to the currency, and people – we need to be having a show on digital currency because people need to understand what that really means, and most people don't. And, of course, most people think the Federal Reserve is part of the government, and they don't understand that's a privately owned central bank here in the U.S. So, I'm not going to argue on that point, and that's going to be for another show, that whole topic, to go on that. But when I'm actually kind of surprised that you seem to be anti-Buy American. I'm surprised to hear that, I would have to really think more about some of the things you're saying, because I don't totally agree, and I would have to, before I would challenge what you're saying, I'll do my own research. But I know Roger has done a lot of it, And somehow I'm just I don't see the benefit of supporting foreign countries by, instead of hiring people here to do the job, hiring somebody else overseas. I don't, China, wherever. Roger, again, any comments?
Yeah. No. Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, your caller does seem to be anti-Buy American, anti-tariff, even though it's in the Constitution. I kind of said my piece, and I was told by him that he did not agree. So, I mean, I really don't have any follow-up to try to convince him one way or another. I think his mind's made up, and that's his choice. But I think I've laid out the facts and the information and the research I've done, and I think it's bulletproof, and I really don't have anything more to add.
Okay, well, on that note, Joe, you can go to Roger's website, and the links are on the show page here. And check the research you've done, too. If you want to give me a side-by-side prove or provide the evidence or data, whatever, that would disprove that. Because, again, I like I said earlier, I go out of my way to buy Made in America. I try to support Americans. I believe in supporting America first, not China first, and that type of thing. And I'm just having a charity begins at home, take care of ourselves first before I go and support other countries. That's my own take. The fiscal policy is totally screwed up in so many ways, and that's just, it's another part of it. But I'm having a very hard time being convinced that we Americans would be better off, or are better off. Let's see, 2 years ago, Trump had us fuel independent. We were doing our own thing. We were selling it and making money off it, whatever. We were doing that. Our fuel was less expensive, which because it was all here, all in the U.S., and that lowered our cost across the board, because when you lower transportation expense and fuel, you lower the cost on just about everything. So I think we were better taking care of ourselves, fuel and everything else, than going to Venezuela and overseas in the Middle East and everything else and begging for oil like Biden is doing. I think we're in worse shape because of that. I think our economy has suffered from it. Our quality of life has suffered, and I think it will continue to suffer as long as Biden and company are in there, if we don't get somebody more like Trump who actually is pro-America. I'll give you a last comment on that. We're getting down to about 15. I've got 18 minutes here. Okay. Any last comments on that, Joe?
I just have a question for him. Does he think a similar open procurement regime would be a worthy goal for the United States, Mexico, and Canada in the NAFTA 2.0 talks, even if the phase-in period takes many years?
Well, if we're including Mexico, Canada, and other countries, that's not really buying American, which is what I'm all about. So I guess as much as I understand your question, no, I would not want an open procurement with foreign countries. I would like it all made here and to keep the money, the jobs, the profits, the tax revenue inside the borders of the United States.
Okay, because I just had this, the numbers just don't match up. I mean, I would like to see your numbers because, U.S. exports could expand by $189 billion annually if OECD countries all repealed their existing local content laws, and public sector imports rose from 5.8% of procurement to 32.1%, roughly the same percentage that characterizes private sector purchases. I just think that, what are we talking about here when we're talking about buying foreign? Really, what are the numbers, I'm just curious on that, but, if you got it on your website, I'd like to look.
Yeah, please check out the website. He's got several books out there. And just so you know, Roger, Joe has a show also on Blog Talk Radio. So once he goes and does a little bit of research, maybe you can he'll have you on the show too, and then talk about it on that as well, and facts. So let's put all the numbers out there and show what it really – let's get a few charts out there and do some real debate and diagnostics analysis on it to see where we're better
amen.
Off kind of thing.
Amen.
What's that?
That's an amen.
Okay. Yeah, now, we're down to 15 minutes. Karen, did you want to put a last comment in there, and then we'll have Roger give us a little bit of a wrap-up and give us his contact information, and then we will call it a night. And, Karen, if you're talking, you're on mute.
problem. I have to unmute. Okay. And unmuted we are. Okay. One of the things, and I do happen to agree with Roger with buying American, but when you look at the whole person, when we buy American, Americans have jobs. A person who has a job is usually happier, more well-rounded, able to cope better because they have been fulfilling something that gives them a good experience of a job well done, money in their pocket, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So having the job, having things made in America is not, it becomes a pride and ownership. You're part of something. You're part of the team. It gives you a different kind of edge rather than sitting at home looking at a computer screen playing games, which is what they would like us to do. Go away, leave them alone, and let them hire a bunch of illegals to fulfill the jobs that Americans won't do because we don't want Americans to go to work because then they might feel good about themselves. So it's a vicious cycle. But part of it, and I do believe the most important part of it, was that job, that feeling of accomplishment that a person has by doing a job well done. You know, when you have that year-end satisfactory report and your boss said, boy, you've been an asset to the company and an excellent job and thank you. It gives the person that inner strength and inner feeling to be able to say, look at what I have accomplished. And by constantly sending all of our assets overseas, which is what's going on right now, I have an answer to, I think, what we should be doing is something you mentioned a lot earlier, Sally, and that is getting and staying in contact with the legislators that we just put in office and telling them, look, we're looking for Made in America in Florida or maybe a car manufacturer. What can we do to put a team together of people who build engines and maybe come up with a Florida car or something? You know, do a something where a car might be in Florida or any business. Everybody is looking for business. And the fear, of course, was this ESG. But now that people are beginning to understand what it does and what it will do to a company, they're saying, no, thank you, we're not interested in this. And there again, all of this is tied together. So I think if we started at the beginning, taught our kids to read, write, and do math, and then as they blossomed and said, I want to be a whatever, I want to be a plumber, I want to be an electrician, I want to be a doctor, whatever they want to be, you guide them in that direction. And back to vocational schools, back to apprentices. People can't do anything right now. Everything is disposable, so they can't even think about doing something, let alone think about what they're giving up when they give up fossil fuel. But I think we have to look at the total picture because it is not just one isolated thing. And I do believe that bringing jobs back to America is a very important feature, but we also have to recognize that in the beginning, there are a lot of things that are not made in America. And in order to fulfill a wish of having a company, you may have to buy certain parts from overseas. So when you do, pick a country that's not your enemy. Get it from a good guy. Get it from an ally. And maybe the deal should be that 60% of whatever is made in America and 40% can be from an allied company, an allied country. Maybe we might have to do that in the beginning to supplement. So I think
we're not
going to
be able to switch over completely. Yeah, we have outsourced way too much. You're not going
to
reverse it all overnight.
No.
But I like the idea of building a car in Florida. Let it be the freedom car.
Mm-hmm. And also,
the freeway?
One other thing, that would be cool. One other thing, and because I know time is short. The government is coercing business into acting a certain way. That's what ESG is all about. That's what digital currency is all about. That's what all of these things are all about. The government is coercing business. That is called fascism. So when they say the Republicans are fascists, you will now at least know what the definition is. The government is coercing big tech to censor, so the people have no knowledge of there's another side to this story. They only get one side. So there's a lot of things we have to correct. But let's begin at the beginning and make a good friend of your legislator so that you can share with them the information that you're learning, because they have no idea and they're in a position to write the laws.
Absolutely. Thank you for that info, and that is so true. We have to really, you cannot minimize or, you know, stress enough, I should say, you can't stress enough the need to educate these people, because we know the majority of people know nothing about the Constitution. When you, if you go out there and ask the average person anything to do with the Constitution and trade, what would they say? You know, the fair trade, free trade, what would they say? They don't know, and the same is true for the majority, many. I mean, Karen and I, through the campaign, through the election stuff, we're out there talking to people and out there talking to those running for office, and how many of them had absolutely no idea what ESG was, absolutely none. And yet this is such a big deal for what is happening, how it impacts our businesses, our ability to thrive and stuff like that. And we've been very lucky here in Florida that DeSantis has pushed back, and many of us sent information to DeSantis along with his team knowing stuff. It does pay to communicate with these people, but you got to let them know, and you just got to assume they don't know it. You really have to assume that. Now, that being said, we got about 8 minutes left. Roger, please go ahead and give us a recap of some things, any follow-up you'd like to, how people can contact you, the website, any of those kind of things as we close out the show.
Well, first I wanted to comment on some of the things your previous caller said about, you know, having the freedom to work in an industry that you want to work in. I think we've devastated so many of our industries in the United States over the years, whether it's like I talked about the toy industry before, you know, the textile industry has largely gone overseas. And I think, you know, she was mentioning a worker is happier, and she used the word happy, more productive if they're able to choose the industry in which they want to work and be employed. They should not be told by Uncle Sam or anybody in the government, I'm sorry, sir or ma'am, you are not able to work in that industry because we've decided to send that industry overseas. We should have enough diversity in this country to be working in any industry we want to work in. And a person wants to work in that industry, they're happy to be in that industry, to work in that industry, and they'll be more productive and happy if they do that and they're given that opportunity. So they should have the freedom to do that. But just on the website and everything, the information, I have two websites. One of them is howtobuyamerican.com. The other one is rejectfreetrade.com. I think trade and buy American today go hand in hand. We have to have these tariffs that Donald Trump put on China and a lot of other countries to make American-made products more attractive to the U.S. consumer price-wise, and we collect revenue at the same time that we do that. And it's been circulated and documented that of all the jobs that have left China because of these things that we've done, 6% of those have come back to the United States. A lot of them have gone to other countries, and that's understandable, and we can probably have predicted that. But 6%, hey, I'll take 6%, and we can work on starting with that number and go up from there. I think any politician, if you told them that 6% of the populace want to hear about this issue, they would be breaking down the door to talk about that issue. 6% means something. So we take that and build upon it. So you can go to howtobuyamerican.com or rejectfreetrade.com and see my books and articles. You can also, on howtobuyamerican.com, sign up for what I call the Buy American Mention of the Week. I write weekly articles, and if you sign up for that, those articles will show up in your inbox automatically when they're written. and just invite you to go through the website and take a look at the American-made products and American-owned companies that I have featured on there.
Excellent information. Joe has been, he's posted a couple of comments out in the chat. I can appreciate the fact, and I remember way back in the day when Lou Dobbs was still on CNN before he got chased off of there and then, of course, got chased off of Fox. He was frequently saying, the trade is so out of balance. It's very little that the American corporations aren't getting a fair shake on the trade. It's really one way. That's not quite what Joe was saying here. And, Joe, I'm going to have to kind of hold off. I can say, and let's see what I can see here. November 15, 2021, the Build America, Buy America, Section 709, okay, infrastructure investment became law. That's the problem. That would exactly Build Back Better or whatever they were calling it. Build Back Better was all about ESG and about New World Order, the Great Reset, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going down that one. These people are very slick. There's no two ways about that. So we'll leave that there. And Joe, get some more info, and maybe we can have a after the first of the year. Won't be before then, I can guarantee that. We'll get back together and we'll talk about this some more, or you can have Roger on your show as well. But anyway, very good information. I am definitely pro Buy American. I think we should take care of ourselves. We should be totally self-sufficient. Whenever we are totally dependent on any other country for anything, it's not a good thing. We need to be able to take care of ourselves. We need to be able to cover our own CYA kind of stuff. And right now I'm not sure we can do that. So I'm in total agreement. I go out of my way to buy made in America. I do what I can to not buy made in China because I don't think we should fund our enemies. And I will do what I can to reach out to these people in office. Stop selling our country to the Chinese Communist Party. There's something wrong with selling our free society to a communist regime. Call me crazy, but that just doesn't make sense. Why would you put China right next to a military base? And we can talk about the free market, the freedom, and whatever else. There is such a thing as national security, too. That's what government's supposed to be doing for us. They're supposed to be protecting us. So if they want to do something to protect us, I'd really like that part, like secure the border, get rid of the fentanyl, and, of course, protect our homeland. Don't allow your enemy, the communist regime, to come in and buy up all of your country and take over your country, and you don't even know what hit you, which is really what is happening today, unfortunately, in my opinion. Okay, and again, thank you so much, Roger. It's been an excellent show. Do very much appreciate the information. Everybody, please go visit the websites, learn some more. We will talk about this more in the future. But please, buy American. Have a very happy and safe Merry Christmas. We do say Merry Christmas on this show. And tune in next week. We will be here. We'll skip probably Christmas week and New Year's, probably skip those 2 weeks, but we will be here next week. Please be good to each other. Contact your representatives. Be engaged. We the people, it truly is up to us. Nothing is going to change with those people in public office if we don't keep pounding on the door and getting their attention. So, again, thank you, everybody. Please have a good night, and God bless America. Good night.